So I've been thinking about this and I want to help you find the most efficient and effective way to pray for the souls in purgatory. So I did what anyone would do and I asked my friend that talks to God. I texted her and I said, hey, I want you to pray and I want to know, what do you think I should do a video about? And she was praying and she felt so much that God put on her heart that I should do a video precisely on this prayer. Now, you probably already know what I'm going to tell you, but it is the St. Gertrude Chaplet. But first, I want to tell you about Gordon and Melinda. Well, Gordon and Melinda were the people who lived here previously. They were a couple in their older age, around 70, and Gordon passed away, I believe, in this house. So Melinda, when that happened, she realized that she needed to move. So with the help of her children, she renovated the house and got ready to sell it. This was something that was super difficult for her to do because she had lived here, formed a family here, and her own husband had died here. We kept receiving mail for Gordon, and I didn't really make a connection until I started thinking about all these different purgatory videos. And one day I was staring at this envelope and I saw his name and I thought, you know what? He's asking me to pray for him. I bet you he's in purgatory. And so my wife and I started looking up information surrounding everything having to do with his death. We looked up his first and last name, and lo and behold, we found the obituary that spoke about his faith. He was had faith in Jesus Christ, and we were even able to find where he was buried and found out that about 2 years later, Melinda had died as well. Now, one of the things that stood out to me that I thought was really significant was he was clearly a Christian, but not a Catholic. So I knew that although he had died in Christ, he was probably in purgatory asking me for prayers. Now, the way that this all came about and the way that I kind of got this sense of it was just so specific that I knew that that's what was happening. So I have begun praying for him as of the last few days. And this is how it is with many souls in purgatory. In fact, did you know that 160,000 people die a day? So that's about 7,000 people a day. That's 160 in an hour. That's 2 people every minute. And if you total it up, according to my calculations, 59 million people die every single year. Now think about it. Who is praying for all of those people, especially the ones that go to purgatory? Now, if you know 1 in 7 people are Catholic, and I would estimate that about 10% of those are devout, so that gives us about 1 million people that are being prayed for, and then about 58 million people that no one is praying for in purgatory. They have no intercessors because those people belong to religions that don't realize that purgatory exists. Now, if you were to pray this prayer that I'm going to talk about that releases 50,000 souls, it would take you about 1,200 of them for you to release all of the people that had died just in this year alone. Now, if you know from some of my different videos, such as from these revelations of Maria Sima, she says that on average, the souls in purgatory can be in purgatory for up to 40 years, if not longer. So if we were to think that, let's say about 50 million people die a year, and then that's times 40, that could be upwards of 200 million people in purgatory. Now, of course, it's difficult to get exact numbers, but some of these statistics gives us a sense of just how many people there are to help. And so finding ourselves in this situation, what are we to do? Now, before we even continue, I need to tell you and we need to talk about who St. Gertrude is. What is most important about St. Gertrude is the following. She was born in 1256 and died around 1302, and her feast day is November 17th. Now, when she was born, it is possible that she was an orphan and she was given over to a Benedictine monastery. Now, at that time, around in the Middle Ages, monasteries held a lot of books and knowledge, and that's where you wanted to go if you wanted to learn. They essentially devoted themselves to prayer and to study, and she was unbelievably well-educated, especially for a woman. They see from some of her writings that her Latin was very fluent, and her native language was German. In fact, she was born in an area that was right around where Martin Luther grew up, so it's sort of no coincidence that someone that would essentially lead millions and millions of Christians away from the idea of purgatory, and purgatory was at the core of the Protestant Reformation, that God, about 300 years prior, gave us this amazing saint. By the way, Saint Gertrude is the only female saint to have the title the Great. So for instance, when we think of someone like Saint John Paul the Great, as people are giving him that title, she had a similar title as well. Now, she was unbelievably well-versed and educated, but around the age of 25, she was given the gift of several visions, and this continued throughout the whole of her life. And this is what really marked her as a significant influence in her spirituality. She had this type of spirituality that we would probably refer to as nuptial mysticism, which means that she saw greatly and had a focus on seeing herself as a bride of Christ, and seeing that her main relationship to God wasn't just as a creature or as someone being saved, but as someone that was essentially married to Jesus. And many people, even to this day, share this type of spirituality. So from these different visions, she had a lot of influence in people in later years. In fact, her writings and her meditations and even her spiritual exercises, which I happen to have one of those books, are still books that you can buy today. So some of these visions include this particular prayer. Now, it isn't in any of her writings that it will release 1,000 souls. That is a tradition that somehow along the line got attached to this prayer. Now, in fact, I found this really amazing article by a well-known priest who looked into this, and he tried to see, okay, did Jesus actually promise that every time you prayed this prayer, that it would release 1,000 souls from purgatory? So what his conclusion was, that God doesn't necessarily place a number on a certain prayer. Why? Because depending on your level of holiness, depending on your devotion, you might possibly release more souls or less. Because if you look at the words of the prayer, you are offering directly to the Heavenly Father the blood of Jesus. And we know specifically that the Bible tells us that forgiveness of sins cannot happen without the shedding of blood. Hence, the prayer focuses on offering the blood to the Eternal Father. Now, many of you already are familiar with this prayer and pray it often. And it goes like this: Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son Jesus, in union with all the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for those in the universal church, and those in my own home. Amen. Now we see that there's a focus on purgatory and poor sinners, but there is this amazing thing called the Saint Gertrude Chaplet that takes this prayer and places it on a rosary. So if you just heard that last prayer, you see that it takes about as long as it would take to pray a Hail Mary, or possibly less. So a chaplet, by consequence, would take about the typical time that it would take to pray a rosary, let's say 15 to 20 to 25 minutes. So it starts off exactly the same with the Creed, the Our Father, the Hail Marys, the Glory Be, the Oh My Jesus. You have 5 decades of this prayer, beginning with the Our Father, then continuing with the prayer of Saint Gertrude, and then it has 2 additional prayers that are slightly different. Now, those 2 prayers are directed, the first one to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and the second one to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Then we finish with a Glory Be, and you do that for 5 decades. Now, since the promise and the pious belief is attached to the Saint Gertrude prayer, you pray 10 in each decade. Each one has that pious belief of releasing 1,000 souls, and then you get 50,000 souls that you could release. Now, I think we should take this very seriously. If you have 58 million people that no one is praying for, we need to do something about that, because put yourself in the shoes of Gordon and Melinda, 2 people, and it has taken me probably 2 years to answer them, for me to even come to that conclusion. Now, put yourself in their shoes. What if you were in purgatory and no one was praying for you? Wouldn't you want to be prayed out the fastest way possible? And if you were released from purgatory, wouldn't you care about other people that were left in purgatory? Now, when I take all of this in, this is a conclusion that I come to. This is urgent. God wants us to pray this chaplet. It has this amazing promise. If we all pray this together, we could empty purgatory. That's what we need to do. So my friends, I want you to commit to praying one chaplet of St. Gertrude every single day so that we can empty purgatory.
If you like this video and you feel committed to praying a daily chaplet of St. Gertrude, check out this amazing video by my friend, as I like to call her, the Scottish Prayer Warrior, and her channel, Bible Prayers, and check out this awesome playlist right here.